This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And our producer tonight in the studio, this is Chris, up-and-coming producer. I think he's going to do well. This is going to be a great learning experience for him, and I hope him all the best, because what he can learn here, he can transcend in the near future to better his career. I don't know where the field is going in, but let's let it give a shout out to the producer who's doing a wonderful job. And to each and every one of you who are tuned into Inside the Inner City on this wonderful Friday evening or night. And again, to each and every one of you who listen to the show and listen to Guardian Radio, and those who would give me a handshake or give me a thumbs up for speaking on matters that concerns the people of the Bahamas. And we're talking about the invisible stuff, solutions, you know, what is affecting us, whether it's prison, whether it's the church, whether it's politics, whether it's ourselves as parents living in the community, on how we can correct ourselves so that we can build a better Bahamas. So tonight's show, we're going to do a continuation from last week. We had a very hot topic last week, and many of the callers who call in, you know, they made some good points of view. I think their voice was heard. Numerous other people were outspoken in the country concerning matters that, you know, it's a priority. You know, isn't such an uproar from the political leaders? Isn't such an uproar from the police? You know, isn't such an uproar from people who we expect in the uproar to actually come from? But it's more coming from people in the inner city, people who feel the pain that we're going through as we face this black-on-black crime, victimization, using your position of power to, you know, just hide the truth. And if you're looking at what's happening in the world today, you could see that many people who have gotten away with a lot of illegal stuff because of their money and their connection. You know, we could go to Peter Nygaard. You know, before he left the Bahamas, you know, shame on our Bahamas government, shame on our police force. You know, because he was supposed to be tried over here. Crimes were committed against Bahamians who were living here. He left. Got arrested, I think, in somewhere in one country, in New York, was tried in New York, and he settled, I think he got 10 years for things he did against male and females. And then he also had a lot of political connection in the Bahamas from both political parties. And the crimes were reported. They were brushed under the mat. You know, so shame on us. That's corruption again. So we just want to talk about a lot of stuff that happened, you know, over the course, you know, of 2024. Then we're looking at P. Diddy. You know, he now, you know, people have been saying for years that he was a position of power you know, to do, you know, a lot of bad things to a lot of females because his position of giving them an opportunity to become the best music artist or to be a star, you know. And, you know, for many years, people have been saying these things against these individuals. And not to defame no one character, you know, because I'm not about that. It's just that it happens, and we've been hearing the news, like people speculating and saying these things, but then you don't have no evidence. But, you know, it's like over here we're saying, like, people are saying the government red license plates, you know, were on scenes of crime and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was brushed off, you know. Then everything that's, what I say, invisible comes to light. Then when you listen to a case that is before the court now concerning, you know, murder victim, you know, that is before the court now, where we're seeing high society people, you know, giving contracts to take out other behemoths living in the country. You know, they're using the less vulnerable, you know, using their position and their money, and, you know, and they were using the government card to do illegal activity. And in not knowingly, indirectly, the government is responsible partly for that particular crime, and it could be many other people are using the government's red license plate, because you know that the red license plate cannot be pulled over from the patrol car. You know, the police are driving, you know, government don't really attack government. So, you know, how long have that been going on? You know, so all these things that, you know, behemoths have been talking about, you know, sometimes we talk about innocent people getting killed, you know, and we don't have no evidence, but, you know, people are speculating and saying that, you know, the police might have made a mistake on a certain matter. And then we're listening on your hand, you know, so all of this. So anything that, like, is being exposed, you know, your money can't help you no more, your position can't help you no more. It's like the creator now is just, you know, it's about time now. You know, he is saying now for a change, not only in the Bahamas, but around the world, you know, in every country, you know, because there are still a lot of godly people living in this country. But we, you know, we as a country, you know, the Bahamas, you know, after, you know, we got rid of the British leadership, we got rid of the UBB party that migrated into the FNM party. Ever since we gained that independence and that majority rule, it seems that we just a black on black now, where we'd use our position if we're in government or if we're a business owner or whatever the position is, and we have a hold over our next human being, we would take advantage of that position, you know, for our own benefit. And I think that's where the corruption comes in right there. I think we need to understand as a country across the board that we're here to uplift each and every one. And if you hold a position of power, you know, the Bible tells you, be powerful and also be merciful. And that could be a principal, that could be, like I said, many person manager who is in charge of staff members who depending on them because, you know, they gotta make sure that their hours is put, you know, put it in on time so that they could be able to have a good salary. And, you know, and we have this tribalism going in our country today. That is actually really, really we need to take a look at, and it's really, really destroying us. So today we're going to talk a little bit about those kind of topics today, you know, because like I said, you know, I want to really get into what the minister had to say concerning the 11 officers who were to court, and they were given bail. And I also like to comment on what the family members of the victims had to say, and I just want to give my 2 cents on it. Okay, I got a call on the line. Let me take this real quick, then I'm going to get to the topic. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Brother, what's going on, man?
Everything is all right.
Listen, man, so we'll stay with the US police and thing, right?
Yeah.
Listen, man, I need to know who all the mother police was who was in that courthouse that day.
Where do you know
take a picture of all of them.
Where do you know the forces in maternity? You understand?
Exactly. There's
a maternity, you know. They just like to cult themselves. You know?
Exactly.
And that's the separation I'm talking about now, it's behaving people. Where we get off, we are divided as a nation, the police against the public. And the public has a right to be agitated with the police right now. But they're showing, the police are showing more support for themselves, even though some of the victims were killed innocently.
Right.
And the behemoth people, families are coming to court where they don't have no seat in the court, but we have officers who are supporting officers, which is their right. But if we look at the circumstances now, it seems to me that the officers are in the wrong, because if the people who deceased, you know, and don't even have seats in the court, but the police... And this proves what we are saying, so you can't really blame the general public. But go ahead, my brother. You get a couple of cents.
But I'd be trying to find out how the Syria is be thinking. You feel me? Because I can't get no bail for nothing like that. At that court.
I could talk and ask you finish. Go ahead, though.
You understand? Yeah. I know I can't get no bail for that court. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I got at least get one little $30,000-$40,000.
That's right.
As a surety.
Yes, sir.
My ma got to put a house on mortgage and things to get me paid.
Yes.
You feel me?
Yes, sir.
So this will be trying to understand, and all what's coming out now is that the commissioner of police already had the summons or whatever in his possession from Monday or wherever it was, or weeks back. Never, I don't know if he did his due diligence. It sounded like
he
tried to push it on him, saying he ain't never get on the wife or whatever to tell them they got to come to court on Monday. And then they come late on, what is it, Wednesday.
I think it was
Monday. And then he showed up on Thursday.
Yeah. And their defense attorney, Kelsey Monroe, who's representing them, said that...
They had something at the police headquarters. They can say it to worry about, but police work.
Excuse me.
That is why I say, I was police on the force. You all got to come there to deal with something. That means you all ain't taking it serious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's what that mean to me.
Yes, sir.
You all ain't taking this. I know I ain't no plenty good officers, you know, my brother.
Yes, sir.
I know plenty good, honest, decent police officers. You understand? Who can? We got to do it for them.
Yes.
Like you say, that's a fraternity. They ain't going to turn on each other.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? They know what's going on. But like you say, that's a fraternity. They ain't going to turn on each other. They ain't going to tell on each other, whatever. We as the people outside, the public, the judiciary system, all these things have to come together to cleanse our police force.
And to cleanse our nation. That's true.
You understand? We have to do it.
Yes, sir.
We got to stop being scared.
And speak
up. You understand what I'm saying? And say so-and-so is this and so is that. You understand what I'm saying? And when I see that thing with that vibe in Freeport, but I nothing new. You know what I mean? I nothing new at all. Everybody know that. Everybody know that. But these guys to be making it to the top is wrong, man. It's wrong. Everybody knows something. Fellas, a fella that do. Trust me.
Yeah,
that's the guy from now, so I live in Freeport for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Everybody know about that bike. Everybody. And it's disgusting to me that these leaders and all these still have these people in these positions knowing the public outcry and how people know what they're dealing with and still have these guys come up there, but they're coming to the end soon.
Yeah.
It's coming to the end soon.
Everything is getting revealed.
Everything
now.
will happen in the dark and come on the
You don't see it coming out?
You understand?
Yes,
everything.
Sir.
So we can sit back, we can relax, and we can see all this unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And they got a lot of work to do with it. You see all these guys talking about they don't want me in the front. Why you want me in the front line?
I'm going to talk. Go ahead. Or mention
that. You chose to be a police officer, but that was your decision.
Oh, Lord.
Serve and protect.
Yes, go ahead.
You understand?
Yes.
Don't like man, follow behind man, and kill niggas and thing, you know. Serve and protect the country, the Bahamas, the flag. That's what you should do.
Yes,
no salute, man. You need to stop liking, man. All of y'all gangsters, y'all police, all of y'all, but it's our only country. It's all we got. We can't go nowhere else. Stop it.
Thank you very much. You know, he's expressing himself, and he made some valid points, you know, concerning a lot of matters. you know, serious matters. You know, he talked about the bail. You know, first time he talked on that, he mentioned that, so let me make sure I know that. He talked about the bail. And the family members also talked about the bail and how the police officers could get $9,500 bail for murder by manslaughter. The question should be asked, why murder by manslaughter? Why not first-degree murder? Well, I guess, again, listen closely, people. I'm going to say this. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow, right? But you're going to have to swallow this, and it is what it is, and you're going to have to speak out, and you're going to have to make changes. Here's the thing. You wonder why the police get bailed for $9,500 when, the caller just stated, he had to get land papers for his mom or father's house, $30,000-$50,000 bail, right? With surety. Why? Because the police officers, them, they sign a contract, all right, with the government of the Bahamas. The government of Bahamas signs a contract with England. So it's about keeping the system alive. And this, listen closely, they sign a contract. And in that contract, we become so corrupt, right, that when wrong is done, they were defended because we have never seen the police or a politician come on national TV and ever apologize, for instance, where the police made a mistake. It'll have to be settled by court. And this right here is a slap in the face of democracy, but not only democracy, humankind, because how you know that the police force that's supposed to protect you, right, are the ones responsible for taking your loved one when you hear the evidence and you see the footage and you find that the loved one wasn't involved in no illegal activity or not carrying a firearm, right? How do you think the family feel? And now they have to go against the Royal Bahamas Police Force, which has abundance of resources. Innocent, no apology. Family members have to go to court by the information gathered by the coroners. Coroners transfer to DDP. The DDP transfer to Commissioner of Police. And the Commissioner of Police, sometimes they say follow the rules of the DDP. And the caller has stated just now that Commissioner of Police, you know, got it late. And then I heard the Minister of National Security, if I'm correct, he was stating that, no, Kelsey Monroe, the representative of the 11 police officers, I think the majority of police officers, three were missing in court. They were given a bench warrant for not appearing. And Kelsey Monroe, he stated that the coroners did not give the officers their summons to come to court. And that was the reason why the court took back the warrants of arrest for those 11 other officers and given a chance, like the caller said, come back, it was Wednesday, and come back Thursday or something like that. And then they were to court a few days ago, I think 2-3 days ago, and they got $9,500 bail. We're not equal in the country, okay, people? We're not equal, okay? Government protects government because they sign a contract. You ever have a civil servant? The majority of civil servants in this country, the high positions in the country, from the Prime Minister to the Governor General to the Commissioner of Police, the Director of Public Affairs, or whatever position that is high in the country, you know, you are protected. This was said a few times from a few politicians who came and said this nationally, that, you know, you're talking about the Shane, one of the MP's case. And he made this remark, you know, saying that, you know, certain aspects, politicians are protected from the law. And this is true, you know, because this is, if you listen to when they're swearing in, you would see these things. And over the course of the years, we have seen these things happen where certain people would get away with certain things. And we are saying here in the country that, you know, no one is above the law. Yes, people, stop saying things like that. I'm hearing people keep saying that it's supposed to be no one's above the law. It's supposed to be that way. But we have corrupted the system. See, I don't think nothing is wrong with democracy or wrong with government, no. I think it's the individuals that get there, and they ban democracy to fit them. You understand? So if you're saying that no one is above the law, you're a fool. Okay? Look at all the things that are happening in our country over the years. Just look at Peter Nygaard. He was above the law. Tell me Peter Nygaard wasn't above the law in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And let me give you my reason. Okay. There was a court ruling, I think, when he used the vacuum to suck up the sand on Jaws Beach. And he added extended foundation onto his house, right? Where he was instructed not to by the Bahamas government. He still went ahead and he sucked the sand off the beach and he built out on this piece to his little island. Now, Supreme Court one was given to him to appear to court. Now, I was watching the ZNS News, right? And there's no time in history that I've known that a warrant of arrest, I mean, a summons or whatever it was that was given, right? Now, I know if I was living in an inner city community and I had a case or a warrant sent to me to make an appearance, right? Whether innocent or guilty, right? Once you receive that, you have to go to the court, regardless who he is. If you do not, the police would be on you like white on rice, right? I mean, butter on rice, okay? Now, I watched this inspector who was sent from the Supreme Court with this summons or whatever it was. It could be a warrant of arrest or summons. I think it was a summons to appear to court. This officer standing up in front of Peter Nygaard's house for a couple hours. Now, where do you see the police force of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas who's kicked down doors, all right? They kick down doors in the inner city community on a regular basis. I don't care if you're yard fencing, if you're in old east, old west, you know. But if you're living in the city community, these brothers, when they come, all right, they shoot your dog that is tied up in the yard. They yuck down your gate, yuck down your door, all right, if you get a warrant. So that police officer was standing up there for hours, and Mr. Nygaard was right inside. You understand? So if people in this country think that no one is above the law, you're a fool. Because we have seen it that people are above the law in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It's me and you who ain't above the law. But for those who are in high places, okay, the law really don't apply for them. The only reason things are taking shape in this country right now is because people are able to have phones and internet, and people are sharing information and then sending it to the news media and sending it to their friends and family. And some people are using the media as to express what is going on in the country. And because of that, we are making change in the country. Other than that, these organizations would stay the same, and guess what we're doing? We're damaging one another. Because each and every one of those police officers have a child. Now, all of the officers, children are not going to be police officers. And I've had police officers come to me and tell me they fear for their children. You understand? Because their children is not police. But they know, like, they're in maternity. And sometimes their children is get pulled over from other officers. Okay? And their children get locked up. Sometimes brutalized. And they go to the station, but they are officers. And they can't count too bad because these guys, it's a fraternity. Now, when they start to talk to the next officer and stuff like that, they start to wake up and say, man, you know, I go, you know, sorry about that. And they have to wake it up because they're a fraternity. Got an instance on Fish Fry, I think about 3 years ago. A young man got stabbed out of the Fish Fry. His father was a police officer. And other officers was there, and they allowed this young gentleman to bleed to death. Okay? You understand? Now, the officers were not responsible for stopping the young man, but they could have been able to act in a better way as to say, you know what, be more, you know, it takes 5 minutes or 2 minutes, you know, the guy got jumped and put pressure or voice it. You know, I heard that they just, you know, ignored it. And then I heard, you know, the father of the young man, you know, stated that he was a police officer and that, you know, he couldn't speak, you know. He couldn't speak on the matter because he a part of a fraternity. So it could backfire on us people, because even your children, right, could go over there and back other police officers who are being taught the same thing. But the thing is, it's a black on black people, the police, you're all black. The country, the citizens, you're all black. Officers, when I pull people over in the car, they be humans. Don't let the uniform, see this uniform, that Roman uniform you guys, man, you all even know this. Listen, let me just say this before I go off course. I would say to all Christians, right, they throw away their Bibles. Let me tell you why I can tell you all that. Because you see that same system, the government system, right? The police system. You know they Roman soldiers. Do you know that? The system that you are in are the same system that persecuted John the Baptist, Christ, right? All the prophets, the same system that you guys are in now. It's the same system, no different. So what you're reading in the Bible is actually happening today, and you guys fall right in the trap and you're doing to your own. I study these things. Go look at the beliefs, look at the structure, the Roman system. We oppress one another. They put us in position of power after we won the election against the British. Now we thinking we have these positions, the Prime Minister, Governor General, and Commissioner of Police. And now we better. The rest of us is peasants now. You know, we got the host niggas now running the country. And now we is peasants. The system, people, the same police system, people, is the Roman system, and we inherit it. And look how we treating one another. The government system that we have, right, it's the same system that when Christ got crucified, you know, still ran today, just different people, different name. Governor General, we have Cynthia Mata Pratt, right? She's Governor General, but the word Governor General never changes. And that's the same thing as Pontius Pilate. Governor General today, even though it ain't Pontius Pilate, Cynthia Mata Pratt, it's Pontius Pilate, but I'm saying the Governor General position is the same position as Pontius Pilate, who was the one who dealt with Christ and all of the Christians. Same system today. Instead of we let the system benefit, instead of we learn from that and use the system to benefit us, we use it to oppress, we use it to kill innocent, we use it for political gain, that when I get in power, you know, when I get in the FNM or the PLP in power now, and when I get in as the minister, I don't like no one who is the PLP party or anyone who connected the PLP party. You grant them, you could take their jobs. You could take their contracts. You know? Look at the Wally boys. Prime example. Look at the Wally boys. Huh? The court had to step in and tell them no one can use the Wally boy name. See, that's what I'm talking about, Rachel, in this country. Tribalism is going to destroy us in this country. You understand? It's going to destroy us. So that's why I say to the Christians today, I'm a Christian, but I'm a different type of Christian. As a Christian who's due, and I understand what it is to be a Christian. Help others. You know, don't try to bring down nobody. Huh? If you see someone die down, you try to help them. If you're powerful, be merciful. And we're not doing it in this country. You know? All we're doing is black on black, you know. I heard, let me go back again with the BL 9,500 thing. The 9,500 is because the Minister of National Security stated it's a process. Police officers are different than me and you are civilians, okay? When they sign a contract, like I said, listen closely, people. When they sign a contract with government, okay? And government protects their persons who they sign a contract with. And then it's the force becomes a fraternity where the citizens are the bad guys. Okay? Because how many reports we have gotten over the years of police officers being unruly to citizens? Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of rude, stink citizens out there who sometimes need to get touched up because of their attitude. But there's a reason for them being that way. Because they themselves are being left out for about 50, 60 years. They don't have no purpose. There was agreement, and it was called our shoots. But anyway, we're left behind in this country. So you have a lot of people out there who have no purpose. They poor. They have no upbringing. They grew up in single-parent home. You know, so when you approach them, they are very aggressive, very dangerous. And the only thing they know is anger. And for that, we have the situation we have in this country today. And the police officers, they get special privilege. You know, $9,500. You know, I see the family of the victims, you know, were very, very mad about it. But I'd say to them, I'd say to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, listen closely. You've had senior officers charged with robbery who are using the police in the police uniform, khaki. Took, I think, about $100,000 while in khaki. You understand? You had a senior inspector charged on the family island for drugs, then you had the next one for drugs. Then you had the next one for armed robbery a couple of years ago. Then you had my good friend Zach, Jeffrey Tucker, good police officer killed by a crooked officer. You know? Good, decent officer killed by an ex-crooked officer. And the only way they get to find out he was crooked is because he killed a good officer. And I always talk about this. This officer shot Zach in the back of his head, in the back of a patrol car, and went to kill two other persons, including the next police officer. And Zach was able to regain consciousness in the front seat. He was driving and was able to grab out his revolver and still was able to return fire, killing the guy who shot him in the back of the head and who also shot a fellow officer who also, the same gentleman, the same police officer, was getting ready to kill a civilian who Zach them apprehend on the investigation. They saw him. He was just going to work. So these things have been going on a long time. Guys try to assassinate B.K. Barnaby. Senior, late great B.K. Barnaby. Try to assassinate him. Huh? Then when Ellison Greenslade, who did, I think, 10 years as commissioner of police, he cracked down on rural cops. You know, he started, I think it was up to 16, 17, or it could have been more officers. A lot got discharged from the force. And then there were threats made to him. Now, all of a sudden, we get you, the Minister of National Security, he's stating here about some officers are requested to remove from frontline duty. Now, let me interpret this the best way I can interpret this. Why officers want to be removed from frontline duty? If the officers who are now before the coroner's, now it's going to be decided if it's going to be put before the Supreme Court. We'll find out sometime next week. What else can I say now? Oh, man. Ready to come back to me. Let me see what I said, man. See you guys be... Oh, man. But anyway. Yeah. And it's very serious thing in the country. And we have to be able to
Man, that was a good point I was making. But I was saying this now, man. Chris, you remember what I was saying just now? I can't remember. I said mentioning something, but I kind of lost track because of thinking with something that was so important just now that I want to mention it, and I end up mixing up the two. Let me look at it. Sorry about that. Yeah. And I was talking with Zach, and then I think I mentioned something else. But anyway, I got some comments here. But sad, man. All right. Yeah. And then, you know, there was also reports of these officers killing their own. You know? And that's, again, like Zach. You know? And that's right here in the country. Got a police officer. And so many other officers are being charged for serious offenses. So what the Royal Bahamas Police Force is going to do in regards to this? Yeah. Yeah, I think I was talking about the Minister of National Security. Yes, I get it now. Sorry, I get it now, people. I was talking about the Minister of National Security, where he's saying some officers have requested to be moved from frontline duty. Now, if these officers deal with integrity, justice, why would they not want to be in frontline politics? They don't want to be in frontline politics because they are seeing now that they could be persecuted before the courts. Why would you want to leave frontline politics? That means you saying now that officers are supposed to do anything they want. And now that this is happening, this is a slap in the face, you don't want to go out there and protect the Bahamian people no more. When in fact, officers, you know, are being summoned to court. You know, they're not guilty as yet. I mean, they got brought guilty. But no criminal liability unless they go to the Supreme Court, which is being decided now. Excuse me. So why it is you are this decent officer, law-abiding officer, you're telling the Minister of National Security that you don't want to be in frontline policing no more? Huh? Because of the corruption and the wrongdoing of your fellow officers. So you're saying to us that because the system now is trying to give the public some ease and to show them that, you know, we're here to serve you. We're here to make amends by doing the right thing. So these guys are saying, they don't want to frontline politics no more. That means these guys themselves are corrupt. Now they're afraid to go out there because now they themselves, where their position, because this is unprecedented. You see them as inspectors being getting locked up. You know how hard it was for inspectors to get locked up back in the day. But if you look on the news, how many inspectors or chief inspectors or superintendent are being charged with various criminal offenses in the country and are before the court today? So that's what they're afraid of. But you will be him just like anyone else. You know, and for the minister to say that, for the Minister of National Security to say that, so what you saying to us? You know, we could think. We could think. And when we think, we put two and two together. Attacking an individual when they're done wrong, right? And then you are the organization, right? Saying these things happen in your organization, and you expecting for us in the general public that don't have no say in the matter, that we should be quiet, and that you guys should let you guys just do what you want. Notice, let me just say this. You wonder why all these buildings crumbling, right? The Reinhardt Hotel on Blue Road crumbled. You had Clarence A. Bean building demolished. You had the buildings downtown getting demolished. You know what? It's time for a change in this country. The old God is over. Everything that is wicked, that went on in the dark, has been exposed in the light. And if we want a new Bahamas, we're going to clean the mess that we have created with these political parties, with these churches, and understand that we all behemoths, and not because you are the prime minister or because you commissioner of police, or you're a big-time lawyer, that you're better than people, and that you're going to use your position of power to take advantage of your own people who are just like you because you're a little richer, you have a lot more connection. Listen, God ain't smiling on no one like that no more. You want to see what happened to Puff Daddy and Peter Knight God, in the United States of America, R. Kelly, you understand? Anyone who's doing wicked right now, and especially if you're holding power in this country, the Father is going to fight for us because guess what? Right now, it looks like the system is still protecting the system. You know, because like I said, you know, it's sad to see the parents of victims, you know, who sons lost their life at the hands of police involved shooting, that when they went to court, that the courtroom was full of police. Come on, man. It ain't right. We're going to take this one, God. It just ain't right, man. God calling you on inside in the city.
Hey, what's happening, Scrooge?
Everything is all right, sir.
Boy, you're so right on point with what you said today. This country is so upside down with corruption, Scrooge. I mean, it's like Bahamian people have been led to gravitate towards wrongdoing, wrongdoers, corruption, and propaganda, man. You know, we have not been bred to be critical thinkers. That D average you see them put on us, our students,
yes, sir,
is well alive in this country, Scrooge.
It is.
Okay, I heard you mention something about the Valley Boy.
Yes.
That's near there to my heart, right? You have a group of Valley Boys asking for transparency, honesty, fair elections. And if you listen to the court of public opinion, they ostracizing those fellas for asking for what is right.
Integrity and honesty.
Exactly. Everybody should be driving behind that.
Yes, sir.
We so used to corruption.
Yes.
The other fellas saying we ain't get no letter from the registrar. They ostracizing the registrar general. You don't think the registrar general know what they was doing?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because the other side saying, we ain't get no letter, we don't know nothing, all the JCNB, we ain't know nothing, we ain't get no letter. But the day before, the other side was supposed to legally change their name, an injunction come out.
Wow.
What that tell you, Scrooge?
They got the information ahead of time.
That person had to have
the information
received
ahead of time. Yes,
from
sir.
The Attorney General,
yes,
in order to put an injunction the day before they had to change their name.
Yes, that's common sense to tell you that.
If the Attorney General did not do that due diligence,
then they were not
like calling and calling for something wrong, and ain't nothing was wrong, the Attorney General checked, and they find out that the name or it was in arrest, and it was available.
Yes. Wow.
Trevor them didn't steal no name, you know.
Mm.
Trevor them just brought the arrest up to date.
Wow.
And I could tell the country something that they don't know. Y'all keeping but world famous. That's a near slogan.
Mm.
The actuality is the Valley Boys.
Yes.
That is it.
Yes.
But the world famous, what y'all keeping for, first of all, like I say, they the new Valley Boys. They the babies.
Yes,
because
sir,
on Trevor's side, there is Christie, Lucy Cadet, and George Wilson Kalah. They were the founders of the Valley Boys. They decided who named the group under Trevor. So why you want them change their name and they the founders of the
group? No, you can't. That can never happen. It can never happen.
It can't happen.
No, the
we
voice.
Trying to
the
educate
voice.
The Bahamian people.
Want you the voice? No, sir. It can't happen. The voice.
See them as the who
they're
found the name and Rusey can have them.
They're the founders, just like the
but
voice.
But they weren't bright and them were just reaching 89 and 90,
no,
trying to catch themselves.
No, that can't happen, sir. It's the
let
founders.
Let everything fall down and gone in arrest, and because the real Valley Boys trying to bring it up to date and sit with them, you should hear they ostracizing Trevor Davis and his team.
Wow.
And it is wrong. And the JCNP is going with that. The Attorney General's office know exactly what they was doing.
Mm. Wow.
They know what they was doing. For people who say we ain't get no letter, we ain't nothing on your station, they was on the oh, we ain't get nothing. All of a sudden, the day before time to change their name, they could put an injunction?
Yeah.
You don't put an injunction if you ain't know nothing.
You had to be an updated. You had to be an updated. You had to be an updated from attorney or someone in the legal office, because that's how come they was able to put an injunction. Because it had to be knowing that y'all going to do something in order for them to put.
That's common sense.
See, that's invisible. That's invisible stuff. I'm telling people to collaborate on that. See, you put it together. You put that together right now. That's how it goes.
The Bahamian people to stop getting emotional like MJ them on Naughty Show. Stop getting emotional and listen to what is going. Sparky called this evening. Sparky's original body boy. Sparky mother. Sparky always saying I eat mother. Get the thing from Malcolm them the people.
Yes, sir.
Sparky called this evening and tell them, I am an original body boy, and all we asking for is elections for these new fellas.
Wow.
They new fellas.
Yes, sir.
And we can't get it. And they hearing Sparky. They can't put two and two together.
Well,
the three architects of the body boys that created the body boys, I will say this to the nation, is alive and well, Rusey Cadet, Kalah, George Wilson, and Perry Gladstone Christie are the architects of body boys, and they are under Trevor Davis. So how the hell they him? Because Brian and me ain't want to come to the table? Come on, man.
It's the voice, though. It's the voice.
Come on. Now they ostracizing the majority group of body boys. Yeah, I go to Bay Street. I know where the JCNP get that. Food is in Trump. They don't own John Canoe. They manage it. They just like not. But the Bahamian people own John Canoe.
Wow. Yes, you understand? That's true.
The biggest problem in this is the JCN. Because the minister tried made a man. And with the $30,000,
yes.
The Bahamian people just de-average again. The minister paid the $30,000 because the Trevor Davis and his body boys did not petition, according to Dion. Did not petition for no F group. We petitioned for A. We are the size of an A group. That's why the $30,000 was given with the hopes that the JCNP would help the minister make amends.
Yes.
But them fellas get poisoned.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not tribalism. You see how we fight against one of them.
Exactly, corruption.
And look
they got poisoned.
And you see, look who we're fighting against, one another. But if you're right, but if you're right, you understand? You have to go where the right is. That's the whole point.
And people need smart enough to see who calling in and what we saying and what we want.
Have you ever
Brian,
seen?
Listen, we've been to Brian 2 years ago, 15 times. Let me tell you something. I remember when we had the first meeting in the hotel upstairs.
Yes, sir.
We invited them. They never showed. Christy was there. It was 15 panelists up there.
Yes, sir.
The room was full. So Christy said, I know Brian personally. I will call him to see if we can get him to the meeting. And Christy come back with tears in the eyes. 3 times.
Yeah, I heard it.
He said he called Brian, and Brian cursed him out and hung up the phone on a former prime minister.
Yep, that's the hatred.
And when Christy physically went there to their meeting to talk to them, Christy had to abruptly leave the meeting. But this is what the Bahamian people gravitate towards, Scroogey, and it's sad.
Times we finish with one another, we can see. The foreigners have got everything in this country, and me and you could be picking peas or the you know what.
I dead serious, man. I don't understand it. They just the court of public opinion get emotional, and they, oh, this not the breakaway group. Damn, almost called me cussing. But breakaway group, and we got the three last living architects of the Body Boys on the way forward.
Yes, sir.
They created the Body Boys.
Yes, sir.
That's how come Trevor was able to bring. Trevor didn't take the name. Trevor brought it up from arrest.
Yes, because, you know,
the Bahamian people didn't hear in this. It was in arrest. Trevor brought it up.
Because the founding fathers are working with Trevor.
To sit to the table to Brian to ask for elections and then hand the credentials back to Brian.
Yes, sir.
Now, I could tell the nation something. Y'all talk about world famous. That's only a slogan.
So it's just Wally Boys.
You know who owns the world famous Wally Boys?
Who owns it?
As of January gone?
Yes, sir.
John Archer, Johnny Moore, that's why the Register General was able to give Trevor them the arrest on the original body name.
Wow.
Brian them
group is owned by John Archer. Thanks for taking my call from January. I go on.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Wow. You know, that was expressing his frustration. And we're talking what's right. And according to him, you know, it's two sides of the story. But like he said, he has a point. Founding fathers. You can't bounce over the founding fathers. And if the founding fathers are supporting Mr. Davis, then automatically, you know, I'm not getting it. I'm just saying, I deal with truth and fairness. You know, I know that, like in the gang, Border Boys, we were the founders. You know, I started off with Giovanni, Tana, Preacher. Preacher was a senior man. I was right there as a little boy, so I was one of the original Border Boys too. So when guys came to try changing it, they couldn't change the name because we were the original, we were the founders, we were there. We were there when Dr. F gave us a name when he's sharpened the cutlass in the road, you know. So we were there. So it's a really tricky situation, but we must understand some of you all behemoths here. And some aside, sometimes you gotta set aside your difference because like the gentleman stated that, you know, who owns the Wally Boys? You know, he stated a certain poison, but he also stated that the behemoth people, you know, and that's what John Canoe and the groups are for. I think that what has happened is that, you know, a lot of money is involved but holding his position. You know, like I said, you know, I'm not saying I was attacking the caller. I'm just saying that a lot of money is involved and people know the sponsors you can get from being the leader of that particular group. And, you know, some former leaders have gotten, you know, very wealthy, you know, off being leaders or close to being second in charge and third in charge. They use their position, and that probably is the big issue. Why people might not want the founding fathers, how we're saying it, you know, change the name to the next, whatever the next part of the Wally. So I think that's the problem. That's where the tribalism comes in. We're going to fight against one another. You know, we're going to, you know, and but we need to put where right is. I'm going to take this last call and I'm going to get back to my topic. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, good night.
Hello.
Good night, good night.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey.
Sparky.
Hey, what do you say, Spark?
Now, Scrooge.
Hey.
You got to give me some time.
I can't give you too much time because I have my topic now. You know, I only let the guy talk about
you
the Wally.
Hey, I went to talk with you.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But you just let the man talk about the body.
It ain't nothing to do with that, sir. I saying it's me. I'm the host. I let him slip that and nothing because he called you up to call him because he talked good about you and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I could give you a couple of minutes. But you can't demand me to give you time. No, it don't work like that, sir. It don't work like that. I could give you some time. But don't. Yeah, but yeah, that's how it goes. But don't tell me I have to. I don't have to do nothing.
No, Scrooge. I say all due respect.
Yeah, and I didn't mean disrespectful to you, but don't tell me because the caller called before you, I have to give you the same time as him. No,
I didn't say give me the same time.
Go ahead then, sir.
I just want me to correct some things because me and you spoke face to face about some things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead. No problem.
That he made some mistakes on.
Okay.
In regards to who he say are the original, living people.
Okay. Well, okay. Go ahead.
You know me and you talk about this before.
Yes, sir.
The beginning of the Wally Boys started with Gus Coombe and his boys working for rushing for Spurgeon Bay, Spurgeon Smith, East Bay up on Trinity Street.
Yes, sir.
Gus and those, when St. Matthew's break up and made St. George's Church, Gus and them came over the hill into the valley. A bunch of young men left Spurgeon Smith and they wanted a sponsor to start their own group. Okay?
Go ahead, sir.
The Bishop Michael Eldon named that area the Valley because one night on Hawkins Hill, on top of Hawkins Hill, he looked down and saw the dew down in there.
Yes.
And he said, the valley down there look good.
That's a draft. Yes, sir.
It was a draft.
Yes,
because
yes, sir.
Dew.
Yes, yes, sir.
And Father Bishop Michael Eldon named that area the Valley.
Wow. Awesome.
And then Gus Cooper, along with my brother, Gully Enos, and a bunch of those, were young boys around 15, 16, 17.
Wow.
Gus Cooper went to my brother because my mother was waiting for A.B. Malcolm on Bay Street. And Gus Cooper asked my brother to ask, they used to call my mother Aunt Gwenny, if she could ask Mr. A.B. Malcolm to sponsor them.
Mm.
Okay, they used to. All of them was part of one talk team called the Pioneers.
Okay.
Used to play out on the Eastern Parade, Malcolm Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother got the sponsorship money from Mr. A.B. Malcolm and came over and gave it to Gus Cooper.
So your mother's one of the founding members as well?
She was the original. She's the original. She was the original one with the sponsorship.
Yes,
money.
Yes, because she's the sponsor. She got the sponsor. She is actually for. Yes, you're right.
She was the first money guy.
You're right. You're right, sir.
And that was then. Then she gave it to Gus, and Gus Cooper and all of those started the group in Gus Cooper Garage in Tenmore Street, right behind Quality Fabrics.
Wow.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
That was 1958. I know, because I took, at 7 years old, I took the Valley Boys first manor with Philip Box Fountain.
So in 1950, that's when Dr. King came to Lewis Creek. So you were 7 years old. You're correct. Go ahead.
Now, what happened? I gave him your story, because that guy gave a lot of bad history. He closed on a couple of things.
Yeah, good.
Okay. The reason I had to go with them, because my mother was working in the day and then working in the night as switchboard operator at the hospital.
Yes, sir.
My old man, on Christmas night, would go to St. Mary's Church, and then after church, him and his brothers, them go out to drink and carry on.
Okay.
Leaving me home if my brothers, them go to Bay Street. My mother say, you got to carry a little boy. You can't leave him home by himself. So they fixed one costume for me to go down with Gus Cooper them from 10 Mid Street. I remember marching on down Madera Street, over Centerville, down the Bay Street, and then we went in. And I remember that day at 7 years old.
That's a good experience. You can't forget.
So you got some originals like myself still living.
Yes, sir.
Terry Christie was not an original Valley Boy.
Okay, he's a Johnny come lately.
Terry Christie came about 3 years later because they stayed with Spurgeon Smith.
Okay.
Doyle Burris, them stayed with Spurgeon Smith, but Doyle Burris, the answer came over.
Okay.
Spence McPhee, Michael DeGroote, and all of them, and wow. Braving them from Culmersville. And there was also a Jokino group down in the Valley before the Valley Boys.
Wow.
Dr. Off Old Man, Mr. Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. had a group down by Cleeso, by Wolf Road.
Wow.
But they didn't have a name. They were just a scrap group.
Okay.
So, Gus Cooper was the one that took the name from Michael Ellen and named themselves the Valley Boys.
So it was a collective body of your mom.
That was the original Valley Boys. So, the problem with the Valley Boys, what's going on right now?
Yes, sir.
Is there's a special group that believe that Gus left the Valley Boys to them.
Oh, okay.
And they're the ones who don't have the election. Because they've been handling the money all these years.
Oh, I just said it. I know it's about the money.
they were the special group that they can call their name, who believe that God left the group to them.
No, hold on. Go ahead.
I can get it out quick. They've been handling all the money these years.
Mm.
And all the fellas who wake in these shacks, thousands of people, with their wives and children, fixing his costume to beat the sausages, the big roots and everything, spend most of their money on their own pockets to go down Bay Street while these special fellas was handling all the money.
Betting their big hoes off the people.
Yeah, whatever they was doing. And they call in the Valley Boys theirs.
Yes.
Not the fellas.
That's what it is.
Waiting in shock all them years, say, we just won in the election.
Wow. Crazy.
Brian them don't want in the election because they know the group for handling all the money, they gone. They will be gone. One election and they all gone.
Wow.
So they don't want to have no election.
Because it's all about the money. They want the power.
For years, the Valley Boys, the people in the shop waking all them years, been asking for an election.
And they never got it.
And since Gus died, they believe Gus left the group to his family and his friends.
Wow. And politics getting worse.
Gus is dead and gone. The Valley Boys did not belong to Gus Cooper family and his friends no more. It belonged to the people in the shack, and they should have the right to decide who they want their leader to be.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sparky. Thanks for the history. You did a wonderful job. Thank you very much. And like I said, baby, people, you got a history lesson from Mr. Sparky. You know, Sparky's my good friend, but you know Sparky is an aggressive old man. He ain't got no time to play, so you know you got to talk to him in such a type of way, but he makes good sense, you know, normally when he call on the shows. You know, he's a little disgusting, but, you know, you got to give it to Sparky because he's outspoken and he made some valid points, and I always said this. You know, he talked about in the Sharks. I'm going back to my topic, right? But I'm going to get this real quick. He talked about the shark and how the guys can work in the shark. They lead their wife home. Sometimes their wife can bring them food and you know, drinks and stuff like that, because they be in the shark from around, let's say, starting July, and they stay in the shark because they in preparation to drive in the next Jungle Parade, Christmas and Boxing Day Parade. And these guys spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on their costume, and sometimes they don't get a dollar from the very head. Some of these people who Sparky was calling, you know, they get their sponsors, you know, they able to, if you win, you know, you get incentives, you get something from government, corporations come and ask you to perform, you know, they pick certain people out the group who they cool with, instead of they have it for the whole group, you know, where you could have transparency, you know, and greed comes into it, just like politics, you know. And they pick their people and they put them on these shows and they give them this one $200 and $300, but other people they're never taken, you know, who are part of the group. And like I said, you know, I'm saying the people now, John Canoe one time, it was for fun, but John Canoe is a business now. So I'm advising anyone in the John Canoe group, you guys in the shark and stuff like that, use your skills to try and make yourself some money. It's estimated we're going to have 12 million visitors come to the show. So the hell with the leaders of the group. No disrespect to the late great Gus Cooper. No respect to the whole of Francis. But both of them became wealthy off John Canoe. Okay? And they turned into tribalism. I'm not saying the family, you know, and that's what it comes, because some people think they in charge of the group, and their children and their family and friends, you know, have benefited for many years. But you're depriving other young people in the group from exceeding their goals. You understand? Because the money was only trickling to one spot at the top. And that's how it is in this country. And we have to break out of that. And that's my 2 cents on it. And like I said, it comes down to the money. You know, Willa Francis, I know him from when I was a little boy. He's wealthy. How he got wealthy? Off the endorsements, off the connections that he made from the Saxons. And there are many others who, you know, were able to benefit. But for those who love it, you know, want to be a part of the organization, join the group, they give it their all. You know, they spend their hard-earned money. And, you know, sometimes they don't even get a dollar in return, and that is wrong. Off the shoulder. All sharks supposed to be fixed up at AC and, you know, because the party is receiving money and stuff like that. So we need to make sure that the sharks are properly equipped. You know, even with bathroom or whatever the situation, the AC and TV and stuff like that now, because John Canoe is a big business now. So we need to upgrade the sharks and stuff like that in the country and all, because we have to show respect to the members so that the members could feel comfortable being a part of an organization. You understand? That's what it comes down to. So I'm advising people, you know, use your skills. Learn how to pace, learn how to build costume, but go into manufacturing. Go into distribution, you know? Use your skills. Don't let the leaders make all the money. You understand? And keep it in one pocket, and then their family believe that they're entitled to the leadership of the organization or the group, and leaves you. No. Yeah, so let me go back to my topic. Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about in the country. We fight down one another because of greed. 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 And look who we're fighting against. You heard the guy say that the guy hang up with Mr. Christie. Mr. Christie been in prison, thinking that when he go in prison, the guy's going to be respectful to him. And Mr. Christie going to the guy, telling Mr. Christie, yeah, yes. Excuse my language. You understand? Because they said he abruptly left out of the meeting, if that is what is happened. Because that's how disrespectful we could get towards one another. Listen to me. I'm not a perfect guy. But anyone can tell you, I always want people to exceed their goal. I don't have a problem with nobody, you know. But if I see you as a person who has a bad attitude or a bad ways, I would reward you as best as possible. I'm not going to hate on you. Hey, if there's anything that you need from me and I can help you from afar, I would help you. But if you was the person I feel that, you know, it's a problem and I can't stand you and you can't stand me, right? Because I could be in the wrong. So I hold my corner and I stay away from that individual. And if I could help that individual anyway, if someone asks me or they send somebody to me to assist, I would do it. But fast me and them, you know, but I never try to bring them down. I never try to stop them from making a dollar. I'd always try still help them out any way they can to achieve their goal. Because I feel that as individuals, you are bigger than that to actually hold grudges. You understand? You got to understand the bigger picture, y'all. We are here to help the next generation to exceed their goal, and we need to lead by example. And let me go back to my topic. Okay, let me see what I was going to say now. Yeah. So also responding to the Minister of National Security, when he stated also that, you know, some of the officers don't want to go and be on front line policing. Well, that's because they're being so corrupted and they've been getting away with so many illegal means in the country by using their position, that now that officers are getting put before the court, this is like a slap in their face. So they're mad. They're mad because, you know, they got to get away with so many things. Now they're afraid that they themselves can be persecuted. And that's what the minister is saying. That's what the Minister of National Security is saying. That officers don't want to be involved in frontline policing. That means this is a serious thing, you know. People don't understand those words, you know. Those words are very, very serious. There were some serious comments that were made. You understand? And that comes from the Minister of National Security saying that the officers, and he said that they asked him for transfer. And he said that he is not in charge of the police force as Minister of National Security. He said that he can't help them. So the officers want to help their way because they are civil servants. Remember this, once you reach an inspector rank or crown sergeant rank, there's only two people could fire you. I mean, three, the commissioner of police, the governor general, and the prime minister. Them three combined together can fire a civil servant who goes to that rank. And like I said, you're a fool in this country if you believe that, how do you say this? Say, nobody is above the law. You're a fool. There are people in this country above the law, okay? There are people in this country who are above the law. So stop saying that. We have seen that a lot of people in this country are above the law, but yet still we coming on TV, no one's above the law. How could these police get $9,000 bail? Like I said before, it's a process, it's a maternity. The police sign a contract, okay? They are protected. You understand? And in this instance, pressure. Now remember, the coroner's, Ms. Turncrest, the acting coroner, Turncrest, who did a fabulous job of actually reviewing the cases, gathering evidence, she sent the matter to the DDP, okay? And the DDP, like I said, sent it to the Commissioner of Police. And if you listen to the Minister of National Security, he stated that, Chelsea Munro, the lawyer of the accused officers, stated that they not get the summons from the coroners. And then the commissioner, someone sent the commissioner, had the DDP's request, and he did not send it to, I think, the attorney, to where it's supposed to go, wherever he's supposed to give the information go. So it seems to me, and he always stated that, you know, he is not protecting nobody, right? And I think this would lead to the officers themselves being charged. As far as the officers getting charged, it's a sad day in our country. There are a lot of questions to be asked, you know, because it go way deeper than this. We had officer in charge of the Criminal Investigation Department. He is under investigation for bribes, okay? And this, along with a senior, I think, superintendent of police, Mr. Markey, who is accused of taking some $60,000 to $100,000 off an alleged, no suspect, just an ordinary citizen, and decided to take the money and thought he could get away with it. But not knowing to him, the person who was assaulted went to the station and reported. And after investigation, the money was returned. And I know Marky personally, that's my good friend, you know. But like I say, that just one incident that was able to be brought to the public's attention because the person who was alleged, apprehended and searched on the proceeds of the, I think it was close to $100,000, he was able to go to the station and report this. And he went to the officer who was in charge of that particular district. And that officer had to put and send in for that particular officer. So how many other stuff have been going on like that? But yet still, you know, we get the Minister of National Security saying that the officers don't want to be in the front line. This is one of the reasons why the officers don't want to be in the front line no more, because their position of protection is dwindling. I have so many police friends that come and visit me, and they tell me, you know, if they get a call on this show and when they have this conversation, but they cannot speak against the organization. So all we're looking for is vehemence. We just want the truth. You know, we didn't know about the lies. Everything that's in the dark can't come out the light. And this one year alone, just look how many senior officers, senior officials are being going to the court. Have we seen one apology from the Minister of National Security or the Commissioner of Police on behalf of these officers who are before the court, even though they're innocent until proven guilty? Or government officials who work in the office of the Prime Minister or connected to the government being charged before the court for serious offenses? No apology. See the system right there. You know? The system. And then we had the system fighting against the corners. You know, when the Minister of National Security, Honorable Wayne Monroe, he stated that the corners ain't had no say in the matter. The DDP ain't had no say in the matter last week. And then he said the commissioner ain't had no say in the matter. Now when we listen, the corners is the one who charged the officers. So I don't know what the Minister of National Security was saying, but he seems to be very confusing. One time he says this, the next time he says that. And honestly speaking, a lot of people don't really like to hear him speak no more because they see he is for protecting the system. He's not for protecting the Bahamian people. And he made a comment that, you know, that telling the Bahamian public, you have seen where the police have gone locked up their own and charged them before the court. The police ain't locked up nobody and charged nobody before the court. All right? There was summons to go to the coroner's court. All right? They didn't have no handcuffs on them. They were charged for murder by manslaughter. I don't understand how they get charged with murder by manslaughter when murder is murder. They break down the charge for murder. See, the question needs to be, why murder by manslaughter? Man, if somebody on the streets, you know, kill somebody, you know, it's first degree murder. So I don't know why they break down the charges. You understand? That, I guess that's what the officers themselves can get charged for in the line of duty. See, they're protected. And you guys are going to have to understand that. All right. So let me just read some of these comments. Listening to your show. Great show, but sad when you say citizens are the bad guys when some police officers are doing criminal acts. And that's right there. See, I am very respectful to Superintendent Skippins or ASP Skippins, you know, when she come on the TV. And she'd always mention sometime that no one to police. See, I just like the citizen Skippins. See that no one to police stuff? We need to stop that. Because why are you not saying known, these beliefs are known to the police? Because you are beliefs known to police on the police force right now, you know. But like I say, they're protected. Some of them get fired. And when you're saying known to police, let me just say this to you. We say we're a Christian nation, but even the bad guys out there, they're behemoths. They're human beings. They are families, they are friends, they are loved ones. They're born in the same Bahamas that you born in. You understand? They are a leaf on a tree that all of us who live in this country are part of a tree, and all of us are on the branches and on the stems. You understand? And if we chop the bottom of that tree, right? The stem, we kill that tree, we kill that plant. And that's what you're doing right now in this country. We ain't equal. Politicians have special privilege. Pastors have special privilege. Government officials have special privilege and are protected. Citizens, unless you're connected to somebody in a political party or you have some time a big family member, hey? Okay? That's how serious it is in our country. So don't be saying things like, but nobody is above the law. Yeah, a lot of people in this country are above the law. All right, I'm gonna see what else I wanna say. Most people saying, why the police them ain't going to jail? You know, if they charge, you know? I guess when, if the matter is, if they have enough evidence, the matter is put before the Supreme Court, then I think the judge would decide if they get that same bail amount with surety or probably get to remand to prison, you know, because now it'd be a criminal, it'd be a criminal charge, you know. Like I said, the cornerstone is not responsible for prosecuting. They only gathering evidence, and then turning it over to DDP, and then the DDP turning it over to the Commissioner of Police, and I think it goes from there. So, but sad when you say citizens are the bad guy. And then this gang thing in this country. Let's stop this gang thing talking about the guys on the streets are gangs. I tell the guys on the street now, boss, y'all need to give the gang business up. I say the real gangsters are the police and the politicians. The real armed robbers are the politicians. And look like the bad guys now are the police. You understand? And making y'all look shame, because a lot of crimes that happen in the country now seems to be that, you know, they were framed. A lot of guys were framed and sent to jail off of air, you know, off of things committed by officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. How you can say that? We have an officer on the same who was supposed to appear. If you listen, you know, you could see he was involved in attempted murder. And he tried to kill his colleagues who are police officers. And that was only because he was panicking. You know, he was doing something as a civilian when he was a police officer. He wanted to do a drive-by shooting with some of his friends. I don't know what's going on. And on his journey, you know, I think they fired some shots at some individuals. I don't know if they hit him. Police gave chase. They cornered him. He tried to get away. Then they fired, police fired a couple shots at him. They apprehend him, and they find out he's the police. Now he's on the run. But look how much modesty he have. So if he is doing that as a police officer, and remember, I talked about the officer that killed my friend, Zach Jeffrey Tucker, at Little Generals. And he was an officer. And he was involved in armed robbery. This officer was involved in armed robbery. He breaking Little Generals. Kill a good officer and injure the next officer. And when they kill a civilian. You understand? So, I don't want to talk about no gang no more in this country. Okay? We just have to better this country. You understand? Because now, how all this has been exposed is gangs in the police force and they protected. Eh? And it seems to me, the powers to be who have certain position of power, they would use the guys them who are less fortunate in the country to carry out their acts. Because just recently, about two months, we just had a gentleman who held a high position in government, and he put out a hit on a young man, and it was shown on Facebook. We saw all the Facebook voice notes, red license plate, saw the guy getting killed, beating the head with his big stick, guys talking to him. I think they even chopped him up, live Facebook. And, you know, look how long people were saying what happened to that young man. And look how long it took the police to properly investigate the matter. It was like, you know, someone is blocking the investigation. You understand? And then when it started to go public, it seems that, you know, the interest starts to develop now all of a sudden. But before the even police even arrest the gentleman who put the hit on the young man, allegedly put the hit on the young man, that was on Facebook about a week prior. Even before the police officers them went and apprehend and charge the gentleman and the two other young gentlemen who were responsible for the heinous act. You know? So, like I say, we're in some serious trouble in this country. You know, police saying that they want to leave the front line because you want to leave the front line because you see some officers who did wrong, allegedly did wrong, who kill innocent people, plan gun on them, come up with their story. You know, who's supposed to protect and serve? Come up with their own story just to degrade the young gentleman who got killed so that to make sure that they have their story together so that when they present it to the powers to be, that they're all on one accord. And if an officer should speak out, listen, this is how serious it is, you know. See, I heard about this story. If an officer was to speak out against his brothers, he'd probably be missing too. See, there's some serious stuff, you know. See, because y'all don't really know what goes on inside the inner city community. You know? Where the community is so underdeveloped and crime is so high, these officers have themselves become immune to it. And they seeing all the dead bodies happening every day, and they seeing the guys themselves selling drugs, and they themselves get frustrated. They become a part of the system. They become a part of that. And they use guys to set up one another, you know? Use guys to take out one another. You understand? Road cops, you know, use guys to sell drugs from them, take drugs from other guys and give it. You know, all these things happen in our community. You know, it's no one police who could point out and say this. This just happened over the course of the years, and this is the kind of invisible stuff that's been happening for many years. I hear Miss Dixon, she was on Lawyer Dixon. She was a former police officer, now she's defense attorney representing the people. She was up by the court and she was saying like how she was a lawyer. She's a lawyer. And one of the cases, you know, they had this guy, he was killed and he didn't have no gun. And the court, she looked at the footage. There was no gun then. She said when she came back, there was a gun then. She looked at the footage. And then she said that when they went to court, she break them down and said that the two officers didn't even know who removed the gun or put the gun down. And she said that was not the gentleman's gun. She also stated that police put guns on guys who they innocently killed. You know? And see, the reason that is happening in this country is because so much killing that the police themselves, when they go on these scenes, you know, they are in a trance, and with that abusive power means that just listen to what I'm trying to say. When the police leave with the station, right, just say the commissioner of police, and you get a briefing, and you want all kind of shooting in the campout area, right? And you know, you've heard that the murder count is 66. and up in a particular area, you know, that's a hot spot. So when these police leave and they go in this particular area, you could be an innocent bystander and they go in this particular area. They go there with a mindset to kill. You understand? And I'm saying that because when the police leaves over the police headquarters or the station, they are the judge, jury, and executioner. All right? Once they leave that station, they are the commissioner. And like I say, they're the judge, jury, and executioner. A police can decide if he's going to shoot you. Hey, he can decide if you're going to live. He can decide if he want to arrest you. Hey, the police could pull you over with about 50 pounds of weed in your car. All right? And if he decides not to lock you up, if he don't have the integrity to do his job, and just say he's that type of poison, you know, he'll let you go and tell you, my boy, you know, you got to give me a 20 or 30 grand. This kind of stuff is happening in our country because the system comes so corrupt because they see that murderers get in the way and how, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy in our country. You know, so that's why everything I do is to try to put our citizen in a better position. That's the corner of that. Because I know that we have to find ways on how we can improve the next generation to prepare them. And if we have this community that is not self-efficient, eh? So that the kids, the teenagers, and the grown-ups in that community have purpose, that'd be less police needed to come in that community. So that's why we need the community itself to be to build a stronger community, right? Because if we build a stronger community, aggressive police approach wouldn't necessarily be needed in an area like Camp Road because kids are getting educated and they're in the small business. You know, they're less shooting. You know, people are socializing more, you know, and et cetera, and et cetera. And people are prospering in the community. So you're giving them the community centers. You have a wide number of small trades in that particular community and stuff like that. You know, because like I said, when the police go in this hotspot community, they mean business. And sometimes innocent people will get killed. And in that process, you know, they know, but they're not going to admit it, and they're going to cover it up. You understand? They're going to cover it up. You see? Because they're not, have you ever, listen to me, in the history of law enforcement here in the country, have you ever seen the police apologize to a family in this country for killing their loved one innocently? Not one time. Why is that? Because the system will never apologize. Excuse me. So, you know, I have a couple more minutes. And that's why I do what I do, because I want to counter the police brutality. You know, I want us to have a better country. But in order for us to do so, we have to stop fighting and oppressing one another. You're a police officer, yeah, you get all the power because you pull a car over and you get someone in the car. You know, unless the person is not being disrespectful to the officer. You know, the officer don't need the carry on bad and cursing, man. Who you talking to? And, you know, you wish your power and screw the poison and slap the poison up and causing the blaming people, the blaming taxpayers, all kind of money, because when these people go file their complaint, some of these people getting $80,000 and $100,000. You understand? And that money could be used to help educate or to help someone less fortunate in the country. No? So I know. No, I used to show, I talk about things that happen inside the police station. You know, people just get beat bad inside the police station as we speak right now. Who's defending those people? The only line of defense for these people is when they get there, they get the chance to call their lawyer. And their lawyer go file they go file a complaint against the Pacific officer, right? And then there's an investigation done by the SID. You know, that's a line of defense that we have for citizens. See, we have to put a balance in check and to let the officers know that if you violate and you break the law, right, even though you're protected, we're going to come at you. Right? And that's the message that needs to be spread in this country. See, we have let the corruption get to us so much. That's why so much people bowl. Do we think a senior officer as Johnson can make a stupid mistake by just using a phone? Now think about this. See, this is why I tell you God come into play. This is a phone number, it's a ledge. And this is a senior investigator who have been in the force for close to over 40 years. And he know that phone contact, sending messages, he should not be doing it. But because of the corruption and think you can't be touched, we have done it for so long. See, these things, you made a crucial mistake. And your mistake was that you thought you could get away with anything. You understand? And that's the boldness about it. And that's the same thing with these officers are saying right now to the Minister of National Security when they say they don't want to go in the frontline politics no more because they know them. I mean, frontline policing. Because now it's a slap in their face. And they're saying this to the minister. And always remember this, people. The police, the defense force, they woke before the general public, means me and you. And they say that's decided based on the votes you get from the police and defense force and the government, the immigration, and all those government departments that when they go and vote before us, like 1 week before election, they say based on that, that decides on who is going to win the next general election. And I tell you, the Minister of National Security, who's the Honorable Vivian Monroe, he don't want to upset these officers, you know? Even though he stated earlier that, you know, you see where the police officers themselves are charging their own. You have no choice but to charge your own. Because the mechanism that was put in place to protect the Bahamian people and to make sure that when the police does something wrong, there's mechanism put in place to make sure that to safeguard the integrity of the citizens. And that's why they put the Coroner's Court. That's what the Coroner's Court was for. Because, you know, there were people complaining about the police abusing their power. Right? And the Coroner's Court would gather the evidence, look at the shooting scene or whatever scene it is, and gather and pass it on to the DDP. Alright? And they had the procedures. And those procedures was put in place to make sure that the Bahamian people can have a trust in the system. But we have the Minister of National Security. As the Minister of National Security, he is more protecting the police in their wrongdoing. Even though he's saying that they get charged now. But last week, you know, he said the coroner's ain't had no say, the commissioner ain't had no say, and the DDP ain't had no say. Then he come back this week stating that now, you know, you see the police are charging their own. Yeah, the police need to charge their own because we all behemoths in the country. You understand? And like I said, you know, this has gone bigger than the Minister of National Security. This is international for us as the country. You understand? So this is doing the right thing. This is where we can make amends and let the next generation of officers out there to know, don't follow this path. If you follow this path, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be put before the coroners, and then you're going to be before, if there's enough evidence gathered based on the crime scene, and you kill murder by manslaughter, that you yourself can be persecuted, right? The right way, go through the process, like the Minister of National Security is saying, that the Prime Minister is saying, go through the process, even though it's a slow process, but it's a process nonetheless. And he's talking about a 9,000 bail, and then the DDP passing on, and then you're finding out now if you're going to the Supreme Court next week. Yeah. You understand? So, yeah. I just hope that, you know, we can learn from this and we can move forward. We need the police in this country. But one thing we don't need the police to be killing innocent people in this country. and then covering up as a fraternity and expect us to swallow it in this country. We need the police. Right now, the police need to gain the trust of the Bahamian people in this country. And if these officers don't want to be in frontline politics, I mean frontline policing, well, there's new recruits every year who are willing to go in frontline policing. And for me, I believe that if we invest in the community, instead of us investing $350 in deal for Bahama, we need to start investing this money into the inner city community to make sure that everything is self-sustainable in this community so that we could break down this aggressive approach we have as citizens so that we again can regain our identity. And that's being a peace-loving, kind people, not a violent nation as we are being described. And you see again, black on black in this country, the police are you, the citizens are the police, the politicians are Bahamians, the police is Bahamians, the citizens are Bahamian. You understand? So we better understand that, and let's correct our country. Let's put it right, supposed to be in this country, and let us not hide the truth in this country. All right? Because God will punish us for it. He will make this country an unstable country, and He take away the opportunities we have here in this country. So that's my show for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every 6:30 at 8 p.m. on Guided Radio. I'll see you next week. I enjoy it.
Meantime, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season. Godless, I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people I'm from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger meat and bro.